Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
Episode 155. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live and in living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. Pancakes and Power Slams. Indeed. We are here another Tuesday night. As my boy Derek says, 90 minutes is never enough. And he's so true. We just go down to the wire so much, but you know, just with the time and just you know, we wanna make an action packed, compact, just up to the minute, second by second, red hot show. We don't want to give you a lot of fluff, but you know, the crazy thing is even without a lot of fluff, you know, still 90 minutes is never enough. So we might have some special shows coming up the pike that is a little bit more than 90 minutes. We'll you know, we've got a lot of people contacting us and asking us to extend the show. You know, it's all about people power, as John Laurinaitis would say. So we might have some specials, the Saturday night's main event specials of Pancakes and Power Slams, and extend it out. You know, it won't be very often, but we may give the people what they want in the coming months. We'll see how it goes. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited. I mean, you know, Tuesday nights is one of my favorite times of the week because we talk wrestling for 90 minutes and a lot of people listen. How about that, Derek? I mean, isn't that cool?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. A lot of people listen, and this is, I mean, it's a great honor to be doing this for now, and, you know, it's only going to grow to bigger and better things. This is Pancakes and Pancakes. I'm Derek, the correspondent. And, hey, this is St. Patrick's Day, so we're going to have a toast here tonight. Everyone grab your glass, and we're just going to have a great festivus of Pancakes and Power Slam, celebrating the green tonight. What about you? Are you wearing green, man?
I'm not, actually. I'm wearing blue, interestingly enough. And I'll grab my glass of non-alcoholic, some apple cider, sparkling apple cider. How about that? Is that fair?
Whatever floats your boat, man. Here in the studio, we're having a party. You're always abroad. You need to come back here sometime, and we're just going to live it up. But anyway, let's get started with the show. 90 minutes is never enough, so got a lot to cover tonight.
We do, man. We do. 90 minutes is never enough. Check this out. WeAreWrestling.net, of course. My boys over at WeAreWrestling.net continue to have fun Pancakes and Power Slams live stream. Be sure to check them out. And, you know, it's always really, really fun on Pancakes and Power Slams. It's always really, really fun on WeAreWrestling.net live stream. All the comments by the wrestling gurus, the wrestling mavens, so to speak, over there. And, of course, my boys over at PWMania.com as well, the other site that I write for. And, of course, the Bleacher Report. That goes without saying. So, shout out to all my family from those websites. Bleacher Report, WeAreWrestling.net, PWMania.com, and of course the Crave Wrestling Facebook page that continues to grow and grow and grow. So let people know about the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. I think we're over 1,300 followers now and counting. I think that's the last time I saw it. And when I start really pushing the Facebook page and posting daily news there a few months ago, it just grew exponentially, and so shout out to that, and counting, and people are involved, and we get a lot of likes, a lot of comments, a lot of interaction on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. Speaking of the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, we're going to start something called Crave Wrestling Tuesday Trivia. Crave Wrestling Tuesday Trivia. So go to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and every Tuesday there'll be about 10 questions for you to have fun with, and the winner of the trivia are usually the first person who gets all 10 right from their comments will get a special announcement on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page through Pancakes and Power Slam Show. So there's your interaction. And be sure to check us out in the coming months, because after the three-year anniversary, we're actually going to start something really fun as well. We're going to have live trivia call-ins. So be sure to check out that after the three-year anniversary, live trivia call-ins. So we're going to spend some time, and we're going to fit this in the 90 minutes, which is already never enough, which probably is going to make us go a little bit further and have us an overrun as raw as maybe 90 minutes and maybe 105, maybe 120. We'll see. But we may have an overrun here after the three-year anniversary, which is April the 7th, and after that show, be sure to, in the coming weeks after that show, we're going to start live trivia call-ins, so be sure to call in, and so we're going to have a bunch of callers. Of course, not every caller will be able to get an opportunity to be live on air, so just try back the next week, but you'll call in, and you will have no clue of what the trivia question is, but you will answer a trivia question live on air. Call in, we'll put you live on the air, and you'll answer a trivia question, and you either get it right or you get it wrong, but there's your opportunity to shine. So, speaking of live trivia questions on the air, Derek, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a second. Special shout out this week to Larry E. Mann Jr. on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. He got most of them right. He was the closest one. The Crave Wrestling Tuesday trivia questions this week was: number one, what two wrestlers are the children of Jimmy Snuka? Number two, What manager called his foes pencil neck geeks? Number three, who was the first black wrestler inducted in the Hall of Fame? Matter of fact, let's go through these 10 with Derek. Number one, what two wrestlers are the children of Jimmy Snuka?
Oh, I'm thinking it was Tamina and
Tamina and Deuce.
That's right. Tamina and Deuce. What manager called his foes pencil neck geeks?
Pretty blasty, that's easy.
Yep. Number three, who was the first black wrestler inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Bobo Brazil.
Correct. Four, where was Andre the Giant billed from?
French Alps.
Right. What city, though? What city in the French Alps?
Grenoble.
That's right. All right, man. Look at you. Number five, what year did Bam Bam Bigelow win the ECW Championship?
1997.
Yep. Number six, The Wall from WCW was known as blank in TNA. The Wall was known as blank in TNA. You got 5 seconds. Five, four.
I don't know. Two.
Malice. Number seven, what was the heel stable in WCW led by Eddie Guerrero?
Latino World Order.
Indeed it was. Number eight, what was the name of Slick's theme song?
It was Jive Sober.
Right. Number nine, where was SummerSlam 92 held?
That was Wembley, UK.
Indeed. And number 10, who is the longest reigning WWE World Tag Team Champions?
Paul London and Kendrick.
Nope. Ugh. WWE World Tag Team Champions, that would be Demolition. Paul London and Brian Kendrick are the longest reigning WWE Tag Team Champions. So, yes, and there is a difference. There was the World Tag Team Championship, and there was the Tag Team Championship when they split brands between Raw and SmackDown. Demolition was the World Tag Team Champions, and as far as the WWE Tag Team Champions, that belongs to Paul London and Brian Kendrick. They had it for a long time. They had it for almost a year, I remember. They had it for over 331 days. So almost a year. They were about a month shy away from a year. So WWE Tag Team Champions goes to Paul London and Brian Kendrick, WWE, which is now called the WWE Tag Team Championship when they merged. But the WWE World Tag Team Champions is what we know, you know, what we knew for quite some time before it was deactivated almost 5 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, very, very interesting 10 questions there. So I think what you got, 8 out of 10, right? So that's not too bad. I think I'll, you know, I'll give you you'll get a B. You know, I'm currently a PhD student, and an 80% is not a B in my world. But you know, I'll give you the high school grading scale, and you'll get
thank you.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? My high school, I went to a college prep high school, and we had a crazy grading scale, too. I never understood why an 80% is not a B across the board. I never understood that. Why in college you have to get like an 84% to get a B? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Or 82. Yeah, I think it was like 84 or something like that, 83, 84 to get a B. An 80%, an 8 out of 10, is a B, not an 8.3 or 8.4. And plus the work, the level of work, is much harder in college, especially master's degree. I have a master's degree right now, especially in master's level work, especially in PhD level work. But the grading scale is different. It's just, it's weird to me. You ever thought about that? About the how the grading scale is different in college than it is in high school?
I never really pondered it a whole lot. I came from a cornfield high school, so I was just happy to get a C+. But I mean, regardless of that, man, in college, yeah, it was, I don't know. My grades are always better in college, so I like the grade scale, so that was better for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, makes sense. It's funny that you said that, because actually my grades were better. See, I guess it's a little bit into the life of Chris Featherstone. I actually was a honor roll student all in middle school, and I actually got a free ride to a college, and I was getting like 3.7, 3.8, 3.9s, like crazy, straight A's, and just I was just doing it big in middle school. But my great-grandma, she raised me. She passed in 1995, and that was just the most devastating thing in my entire life. She passed when I was starting high school, and I just, my grades tanked. Lost my scholarship, and was just so, just weeping, and just, I was depressed, and yeah, it was a really bad time for me. And then just, you know, through the grace of God, without question, through the grace of God, he just continued to stick with me and stay with me in spite of my just, you know, slump. And as I continued to evolve in high school, my grades started to get better. I actually made the honor roll my senior year, and I did exceptionally well. In college, made the dean's list a bunch of times. Had 4.0s, you know, in college. I've been in my counseling field for over 2 years now, and I've got all A's and B's. I haven't got anything lower than a B in 2 years of counseling classes. And so, yeah, I mean, just that's rebounding. That's grit. That's just staying in the fight. And, you know, I just encourage everyone to, you know, stay in the fight. I'm not like this, you know, incredibly amazing guy. You know, I'm just a wretched man that's saved by the grace of God. So, you know, I really appreciate just sharing that story with a lot of other people, because just anything in life, you know, it's not over. And even when you go through a big old dip and a big old slump, there's always somebody in your corner that'll really help you along the way. So, I'm actually a certified life coach, if you didn't know. And there's your free advice for today, unpaid. But next, let's get into another trivia question for Derek. We're going to do one for Derek, and then we're going to open it up for the live chat room, RealWrestling.net, Blog Talk Radio, and also the Twitter at Crave Wrestling. What year did Alundra Blaze, Derek, what year did Alundra Blaze win the WWE Women's Championship? What year did Alundra Blaze win the WWE Championship?
I want to say 1995.
You are correct. Interestingly enough, she's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. And she was the women's champion 20 years ago. And I've been watching old school Hall of Fames on the WWE Network, and I watched the 94 Hall of Fame with Blassie and Bobo. I think they said like James Dudley, Buddy Rogers, and who else was in the 94 Hall of Fame? Arnold Scalin, I believe. Or was he 95? I think he was 94, 95. Yeah, and just an interesting, very interesting lineup with the 94 Hall of Fame. And I remember when watching 94 Hall of Fame and Bobo Brazil, unfortunately, he couldn't, you know, he wasn't able to present or give a speech because he just broke his hip. But he didn't need to because Ernie Ladd had the longest. I mean, that guy was preaching in that podium. He had the longest introduction speech that anyone could ever imagine. Almost as long as Mr. T's last year when he did everything for his mama. But the thing is, Mr. T's was an acceptance speech, but as far as an introduction speech, it was quite long. DDP's introduction speech was pretty long last year with Jake Roberts, but at the same time, you know, it was good. You know, it was a good speech, both Ernie Ladd and DDP, and looking forward to the Hall of Fame this year, man. So far, Hall of Fame looks pretty good this year.
Yeah, Hall of Fame looks great, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially with Randy Savage going in there. And I mean, that to me, that's the mecca of it. And it was weird. I was reading an article today on the website. I was talking about how kind of weird that, you know, Hulk Hogan inducting him into the Hall of Fame, and you know, just the animosity between. So I think Randy Savage even released a whole CD, a rap CD, talking about how much he hated Hulk Hogan.
Be a man, Hogan. Hulk Hogan, you're a punk.
With Kevin Nash going in there and Larry Zbysko. I'd like to see Scott Hall plus Larry Zbysko and their feud in WCW. And just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking, but anyway, no, great class. Alondra Blaze, I mean, you know. Scott Hall, he's rumored to be in there. I don't know if it's been official yet, but anyway, I mean, great class.
Well, Scott Hall, you mean Kevin Nash. Scott Hall was there last year, but you mean Kevin Nash is rumored to be in there.
Kevin Nash, Big Daddy Cool. So,
yep. Which he will. He'll be in next week, I'm sure he will. But an interesting point about Scott Hall inducting Larry Land. I would say my preference would be Bruno, just because of, you know, he was Bruno's mentee, and Bruno was his mentor, and his first big break was, you know, the heel turn in 80, I think it was, and then, you know, the cage match of Che, and I mean, Larry Zbysko really became, I mean, he was known, you know, before his feud with Bruno. But Bruno, the feud with Bruno really, really put Larry on the map. And I really think that, I mean, I'm all for Larry Zbysko being in the Hall of Fame, totally, and without question. I think there's no doubt about it. He didn't really do much in the WWE, but, I mean, other than, of course, his feud with Bruno. But he really made a name for himself in the AWA. I mean, that's, AWA was really Larry Zbysko's heyday. It was really the time where he really cemented his legacy. And it's crazy how, I mean, AWA, it ended in 90, I believe it was, but AWA was such a long, if I'm not mistaken, it was about, the promotion lasted almost 30 years. I know it started in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, and lasted until 90. So you got a promotion that spanned three decades. You know, as much as the AWA championship doesn't mean that, I mean, it means a whole lot, but compared to the WWE championship, I mean, it's not very comparable, but at the same time, man, I mean, the AWA championship is spanning three decades. It's got some legacy to it. It's got some legitimacy to it. People like Kurt Hennig, people like, you know, Jerry Lawler, people like Larry Zbysko, who never really held a top WWE championship, with of course, you know, of course, Hennig had the Intercontinental Championship, but was never world champion. But all three of them were world champions in the AWA. So, you know, those are the things that really help people like that, people like Zbyszko, people like Hennig. People, I mean, Hennig would have been in the Hall of Fame regardless, but people like a Zbyszko, you know, people like a, of course, like a Scott Hall as far as his legacy is concerned. Of course, Razor Ramon was the man, you know, but he, AWA really helped him, you know, as far as cement, you know, just his legacy. And, you know, like I said, people like Larry Zbyszko that never won a major championship in the WWE, you know, can say that he's been AWA world champion. Same thing with Bockwinkel. You know, Bockwinkel's in the Hall of Fame, but Bockwinkel's, I mean, his resume is almost completely AWA. So as far as, you know, the notoriety is concerned, I mean, he was like, you know, commissioner or whatever for the WCW for a while, but, you know, most of his career was AWA. And, of course, Greg Gagne, who's also in the Hall of Fame, was the owner of AWA and the founder. So AWA has definitely had some really interesting people that came out and really created a legacy, you know, to really carve out some amazing talent throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, amazing talent. I mean, it's almost, it was its own thing. It was like its own club, its own clique, but you were somebody if you were wrestling in the AWA. With the hard nose like Vern Gagne, I mean, he's one of the godfathers of modern professional wrestling. He's helped pave the way. He's done nothing but great things for the business. I mean, sorry, things didn't work out the way it did for Vince McMahon because Greg Gagne wanted to make friends. But, I mean, he had so many names in there. I mean, that's just even someone like Rick Martel, even in the Hall of Fame.
He's not, unfortunately. I mean, Rick Martel's a perfect name to talk about as far as I think it was 84 that he was champ, 83 or 84 that he was champ. Another great, you know, name to talk about because he was champ in 84, really cemented or really built his legacy as an AWA world champ. Really the only major world title that he had in the States, or, you know, but still had a Hall of Fame legacy. Stan Hansen as well.
Yep. So, yeah, AWA, you can't knock it because it's, again, it was a petri dish, if you would say, of just pure wrestling style that, you know, again, it's just, it's transcended into today, and it's, you know, Greg Gagne, he's one of the masters, and that's just it. And everybody knows that. So, I mean, that's never to be discredited.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point there. Fantastic point. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some Raw talk to start. So here we go. We will be right back on the other side.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, our mind. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash One Mission with the strength of 100 men, with one intent to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals using God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest. We the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back. We reppin' that work pack. The foundation shaking. No mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. Heat turning the power on. On the razor's edge. Leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man. We bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful. The owners in our group, too. It's good to be king. Sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games. Our army go move, too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand. And stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming. Steiner Brothers, we love it. Demand the win. Establish it. It's the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Raw starts off with the Authority apologizing to Seth Rollins and Rollins accepting Orton's challenge if he faces him tonight. Very interesting back and forth exchange with the Authority and Randy Orton. They're doing their best to try to build up this feud. I think they did we'll talk about the very end. They did a fantastic job with getting at the very end hype for the Randy Orton and Seth Rollins feud and combining them. We'll talk about that at the very end of the segment of the Raw part here. But yeah, it was an interesting. You know, they're doing their best to try to build up the Orton and Rollins feud, and you know, like I said, Orton and Rollins is probably the best option that can go on right now, and I think that I'm a proponent of Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton in WrestleMania. I think it would definitely help Seth Rollins, and I think that they're doing a pretty decent job building this feud up.
They have. They've done a great job building the feud up, and it's one thing that it's going to snowball at WrestleMania and just explode. I think after WrestleMania, I mean, I believe the following weeks after that, it's going to be kind of a different Raw. It's going to be a different feel. I don't know. There's something about this particular WrestleMania as far as Authority is concerned and what's going on with that. But the build of this match is great. I like the intensity between the two. Seth Rollins is still kind of a bland Joe, but it's growing on me slowly. But I mean, he hasn't degressed, so he's making the most of what he can do. So, and that's, you know, that could build better things in the future. So, good job.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not a Rollins fan at all. I appreciate the heck out of his ability. I think he's an awesome talent, and I've followed him for quite a number of years now in the Indies and ROH, and I just don't like what I see based on what I saw, and I think that's probably the best way to put it. And I mean, that's it. And I really think that if we see, you know, a face turn by Rollins and leading up to, leading up to what we'll see, leading up to a face turn and a feud with Triple H, I think that's I think we'll see that, and I think it'll be exciting, and I'll totally be with it. I'll totally be for it, and you know. Hopefully we'll see that, because if we see another 6 months of this type of Roman Reigns, this type of Seth Rollins, I'm totally okay with Roman Reigns, but if we see another 6 months of this type of Seth Rollins, I really don't see it. I really don't see how it'll be exciting, you know, whatsoever. I don't know. I hope that the WWE decide to kind of tweak his character a little bit. I really don't see how his character can be tweaked as a babyface. I mean, you know, as a heel going into a babyface. But, like I said, if he makes that turn, if he makes that decision to, you know, to go over to, you know, to get away from the authority and, you know, Triple H feel like he's getting too big, you know, for his own good, similar to what happened with Randy Orton with Evolution. I think it would be a good way to do it. Even if he makes another heel turn in his career or something like that, you know, so be it. But it's really crazy because the more I think about it, Seth Rollins' career, with the exception of, well, I mean, even the beginning, because they were trying their best with like the RNN, the Randy News Network, and then because he had the baby face, he was a baby face, and then the RNN was interesting, but wasn't the best, you know, thing in the world. But, you know, they tried, you know, they tried to do something with it. But, you know, the thing is with that is that it was bland, but eventually Evolution, Randy Orton really became somebody when Evolution, when he became a member of that stable. And he was bland as when he made his heel turn. It really wasn't all that exciting, but he just that was his breakout moment. And even more of a breakout moment is when, of course he beat Benoit at SummerSlam to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And then, you know, he gets kicked out of Evolution, makes the face turn. That is what really made him kind of made him a cemented staple guy, you know, as far as a main eventer is concerned. Because even when he beat Benoit at SummerSlam, it was kind of like a feel good moment. You know, they put a lot of stock in Randy Orton, and it was still a little bit premature. But his feud with Evolution really helped him out, and I think that. You know, and of course, in the coming years, you know, he became a 12-time champion and just, you know, one of the most, I guess, one of the biggest names that just came out of this era other than John Cena. I would say as far as the class of 2002, which is a lot of, I would say the four biggest people of the class of 2002 would be Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Randy Orton, and Batista. All four of them became multi-time world champions, and it's funny that class became so big that 1 year, 2002, was such a breakout year for, you know, four of the biggest names in WWE now. But, you know, maybe Seth Rollins is going to kind of mirror that type of path, possibly. We'll see. But right now, not a big advocate of Seth Rollins, but maybe I'll convert to the Seth Rollins of today. And of course, Nikki Bella defeats AJ Lee, and this is your favorite part of the night, right, Derek? The Divas.
Yeah, the Divas. Yeah, not really. They're not a whole lot of fun.
I think I made you choke by saying that.
It's having a great time here. It's St. Patrick's Day. Woo-hoo! Pancakes and Power Slam Studios. Hey, you know, the Divas, they're boring. So, yeah, Nikki Bella, you know, whatever. I liked your piece about Randy Orton. I just wanted to say that was a great ode to Randy Orton, and couldn't agree more. But anyway, the class of 2002, that's awesome. We should talk about that like more in depth at another time because there's so much
Absolutely.
To be said about that. And there hasn't been an era like that since, or at least a class that I can think of like since then that just totally dominated. But again, you know, we still have time ahead of us. So 15 years from now, we could be talking about the class of 2016.
Yeah, we just don't know. But anyway, Divas Division. We got better stuff to cover tonight, so what's up next?
We do. I think that's the perfect way to segue. Ryback defeating The Miz. Ryback, I posted on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and it was also on PWMania.com, that Ryback hit a milestone, man. It's only a relatively, you know, elite list of people that has 100 wins in the WWE, and Ryback is one of those people. How about that? It's very, very interesting. In the small gap, in the small time that Ryback has been in the WWE, he has achieved something that people that's been there for quite some time has not been able to do. So, you know, I'm a Ryback guy. I'm on Team Ryback. I'm an advocate of Ryback. I'm a supporter of Ryback, and you know, kudos to him. You know, I still was just grossly underused right now. You know, he definitely should be. I kind of think that maybe the WWE decided to pull the plug on his push because he hasn't evolved enough as a wrestler. But I mean, really, what are you guys expecting? The guy's a brick wall and a half, and I mean, he's really as agile as he can get. I mean, he sleeps on his muscles, and you know, he still has a pretty wicked looking clothesline. Shell-shocked is a pretty decent looking finishing maneuver, and he's got the people behind him. I mean, we've seen in the history of WWE, we've seen way more people who are way worse wrestlers become stars in the WWE. And so, I mean, hey, I'm on board with Ryback being having a push and being the guy. But I don't know. Maybe the WWE isn't. I don't know why they pulled the plug, but hopefully we'll see a push in the coming months for Ryback.
We should. And I think there's something a little more special about Ryback this time around compared to in the past. This time he seems to be more easily laid back. But what's weird is the WWE loves these huge jacked up guys. And Ryback just seems to be totally getting stepped on in the back, whether it's politics, whatever. Maybe he's just dumb. Who knows? But it's something that, I mean, the fans seem to like him. But they kind of think he sucks after a while because he's just a lame duck at times. And I mean, who knows? Maybe he's just not cut out for it. But, I mean, I could see a nice push behind him. I would really like that. I like the Tyson Kidd and everything. I mean, that's a great way to go with him. Done a lot more with this push than he has in previous pushes, but it is just how much stock does the WWE want to put behind him and not put on their big time angles, you know? To him, he's still just a sight.
Yeah. And of course, more beef going on between Mizdow and Miz after Mizdow gets a skull crushing finale, courtesy of Miz. So interesting there. Next, we have John Cena and Rusev contract signing. We got some crazy-sounding attorney that initially said that the match was not going to happen because Exhibit A and Exhibit B, and Rusev never was able to approve of the match, so there's no way that would happen. And then eventually, of course, it happened because, of course, we're going to see John Cena versus Rusev. But I'm going to say something that's very interesting. Something that I noticed that both this week and last week, John Cena was getting more pops because of this pro-USA. And you know what? And you know who I credit that to? I credit that to Rusev. Because Rusev is doing such a remarkable job. as a heel that even people are cheering John Cena. I mean, can you really grasp that for a second? Rusev is doing so good as a heel that people are starting to cheer John Cena. Now, that alone is an accomplishment of great heights. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. I'm still not a big fan of the feud because I think that John Cena's spot should be somebody else getting a rub from Rusev and getting the U.S. Championship. But, you know, the very fact that John Cena is getting a lot more cheers than he has in at least the past half a dozen years, that alone is saying a whole lot about how good and how effective Rusev's character is.
It does. And when you can change the outlook of your opponent to the masses, to the crowd, to the marks, whoever, I mean, that you're doing your job. And you can't get that heat anymore. I mean, we've said this over and over again on the show that Rusev has the best heat. You just don't get this. The last time we've seen something like this, honestly, to this degree, was, I said before, I think, it was Sergeant Slaughter back in the early 90s mm-hmm. when he was an Iraq sympathizer. And not to that degree, but, I mean, as far as you've never seen something like this take place in WWE, I mean, it's just, it's awesome. And for whatever reason, people have tried it, and it just hasn't worked. But Rusev just has the look to him. I love it. Yeah, I mean, with John Cena, he should be focusing his attention on somebody else. But right now, I mean, they're using the real American hero against the foreign invader. And it's, mm-hmm. of course, it's been done so many times in the past, but this is what they're doing now. And I think they're doing okay with it. They're doing fine. It's just to see what's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I think the interesting part of that is I think that it's a tried and true method. It's worked, you know, from day one, and it's effective. And the thing is, I remember, you know, you say Sergeant Slaughter, but I remember just about a year later, we had somebody come into the scene by the name of Ludwig Borga. And Borga was so hated. I mean, he wasn't, you know, it was more of a Finnish type of thing, but at the same time, it was still that, you know, that foreign, I hate you, blah, 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 America sucks, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was still that type of feel to it. Borga, I remember back in the day how much hated Ludwig Borga was, and man, he really had a chance to be somebody and just really feud and just really be a top guy. From what I remember, he ended up, I mean, he just wasn't very very mentally stable. But he still, man, he had the opportunity to be somebody. I remember he feuded against Tatanka. Just really, if I'm not mistaken, he broke the streak. Remember he feuded with Luger. You know, that was a big thing because it was, you know, Borga and Luger was like the new version of, you know, was like the older version of Rusev and Cena, because Luger was certainly comparable to John Cena, you know, 22 years ago. And very interesting. I mean, just the comparison that we can have that's pretty legitimate as far as Borga and Luger compared to Rusev and Cena. But, you know, even now, even the fraction of the time that he's been in the WWE, you know, Rusev can run circles around Borga. Although Borga, man, if he had his head straight, the WWE, it seemed like they had some big, big things planned for Ludwig Borga.
Yeah, I get that. And I just, you know. But the thing about me, though, is the thing with the Sergeant Slaughter heat that was beautiful for me. And I don't want to keep talking about old stuff that happened years ago, but, I mean, it's just everybody loves Slaughter, and then he just turned to the Iraq, and oh, my gosh. But with Rusev, I mean, again, we can beat this to death and just talk about how beautiful his heat is and how much everyone hates him. And I, you know, I don't oppose the feud that's going on between him and Cena. And Cena, you like him or hate him, he is the real American hero with this. I mean, keep going rolling with it. After WrestleMania, okay, something else has to be done. But, I mean, this is I'm really looking forward to this match.
What do you think about Hogan coming out? Do you think there's a chance that Hogan's going to come out with Cena at Mania?
I have not heard anything about that or seen anything. I mean, that could be – they have to do something with Hogan. So far they say Hogan's got no role in WrestleMania. Even his role last year was just kind of lame. Yeah, him and Stone Cold and Rock get in the ring, shake hands and drink beer or whatever they did. But, yeah, you know, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't. It would be okay. Especially if he came out to I'm a Real American.
Real American. Yeah,
I would mark out for that. So,
yeah, I said this, and I wrote an article about it on Bleach Report. You know, I think that Hogan needs to be in WrestleMania in some capacity. My preference would be to kind of give Curtis Axel the rub on, you know, at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, because still. That, you know, and the thing is, the fact is it's going to be every year. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is going to be every year. Oh, are you kidding me? Like, I am not looking forward to upcoming Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royals at WrestleMania. And I really don't think it's going to last very long because there's no point to it. I mean, it's just a pointless spot that you're just throwing people in. I mean, like I said before, I can understand a wrestler loves that spot that doesn't really do anything throughout the year because they get their WrestleMania cut. But other than that, I mean, come on now. People like Dolph. I mean, people like Zack Ryder, people like Adam Rose, people like your boy Fandango, you know, they don't do anything but, you know, be features on superstars. And they're going to be, you know, it's such a jobber main event. I mean, such a jobber match. It really is a jobber match. You'll throw in Big Show and Kane and Mark Henry. But even those three, although all three of them have been world champions, all three of them aren't making any type of noise. I mean, right now, the only three people that's making some noise, and I would say, and I'm going to say The Miz only because of Mizdow. So I'll say Mizdow, and Ryback. That's the only three people that I can think of that's really making some kind of noise that's in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Otherwise, I mean, just picture that match at WrestleMania. And how boring and lethargic it's going to be, and how much people are just going to. I mean, that we thought the Divas match a lot of times is a bathroom break match, but there's a big part of me that believes that I will be using the bathroom during the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, because I really don't care who wins. And whoever wins, it doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter. And the thing about it, though, I mean, people like a battle royal. The fan side of me, we're going to see that. And, I mean, really, a bathroom break? I keep a milk jug next to me during WrestleMania just for that reason. So that's what I'm getting for. But anyway, just say it's okay. It's okay to have something like this for me. As a fan looking in, okay, well, it's only going to last 10, 15 minutes. I mean, really, it's not going to take a whole lot of time. But I don't hate it. It gives everybody a WrestleMania moment, I suppose, even though the moment's not much. But, again, it's part of the spectacle. It's part of the let's put everybody, make this show something else. And, again, they're going to have everything that you always wanted at WrestleMania. This is just a dent in the wall in WrestleMania. But imagine if you were the superstar. Okay, well, I'll get to be in the Battle Royal. At least I'll get to be at WrestleMania. So, from that perspective,
yeah.
Okay.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. Look,
it's a jobber
match. Like you said, from from a wrestler's, like you said, from a wrestling perspective, I understand it. Totally, you know, a wrestler like Zack Ryder, a wrestler like Fandango, they wouldn't want the Andre the Giant Memorial, a wrestler like, you know, like primetime players, they would want it to happen the whole time, every year. But at the same time, you know, as far as the fan is concerned, I mean, I agree with you as far as the bathroom break, you know, part of WrestleMania. But at the same time, you know, I this is going to be one of those matches that I'm really going to be wanting to just get away from and just really hurry up. So, you know, we'll see about it. I mean, and to be honest with you, when WrestleMania happens, I mean, when WrestleMania happens and when we're here, when we're there, it'll be a good, you know, I guess buffer match. It has to be in between something really huge. Like, it has to be in between, like, Sting and Triple H and Wyatt and Taker or something like that. It has to be in between that because it's such a buffer match. It's really a bridge, you know, match that, you know, really has no purpose but to be that type of match to just bring us down from, you know, the spectacle that we saw between, you know, Bray and Taker or Sting and Triple H. So that's what it would have. Like, matches like the Divas Tag Team match and, you know, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, those would be filler matches. Those would be the buffer matches between the real good stuff. So, I mean, I suppose it has a slot in that capacity. But, you know, other than that, I mean, to be honest with you, there really shouldn't be many buffer matches at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the grandest stage of it all. You know, that's like having, out of four quarters in a Super Bowl, that's like having a boring third quarter just to have an amazing fourth quarter. Although sometimes that works as far as kind of resurrecting our interest. Similar to the Super Bowl this year between New England and Seattle. I mean, it was like the first half was quite boring. It started to get good, you know, the second half. But if the whole game was good, you know, it would be a lot better than if there were some boring first halves and second halves. I mean, similar to, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, that the game was good. The game was really good. It was better than Oregon, Ohio State, actually, from a back-and-forth standpoint. But, you know, I think that's really the only thing that would really matter in this type of event. But next we have Ken and Cesaro defeating New Day. You know, of course, this hurt my heart because I'm a huge fan of New Day. But, you know, at least they'll have their WrestleMania moment. I don't think that the tag team title match would be a part of the actual card. I think that, and Booker T announced yesterday that it's actually going to be 2 hours for the pre-show. So bring out the matches. I mean, I could see NXT. See, the thing is, I've been a proponent of not wanting NXT to be at WrestleMania because I don't want them to be diluted by the WWE product because they're such an amazing brand. And we'll talk more about NXT at the Arnold Classic next week. They're actually scheduled. NXT for Arnold's Classic was a couple weeks ago. I was there. I took pictures. Also, I had a member of the Crave Wrestling team, John Donahue, take pictures. He's a great, awesome photographer. Check that out on Bleacher Report. It has NXT live notes and pictures and videos on the Arnold Classic. So check that out on Bleacher Report. But, yeah, it was an amazing experience, and they're actually going to show it on the WWE Network tomorrow. So I'm really, really excited about that. I was one of the only people chanting loudly for Baron Corbin, so I'm sure I'll hear myself a bunch of times during that time. I don't know if they're going to play the actual event, because I'm sure they're going to carve some parts out of it, because the actual show at the Arnold Classic lasted for probably a couple hours. So I'm sure they'll carve some of it out, but I'm sure what they put together will be very, very good and exciting to watch. So we'll talk about the aftermath of that. We'll talk about NXT in Columbus at the Arnold Classic next week on our go-home show for WrestleMania. Really excited about that, too, our go-home show for WrestleMania. So we'll talk about that next week. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that with the 2 hours of the pre-show, we're probably going to see this tag team turmoil match on the pre-show. I don't know exactly what else we'll see at the pre-show, but that's why I don't understand why Goldust, I don't understand why Stardust got the spot on the ladder match than Goldust, and Goldust beat him last month. But Goldust has a random spot in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but Stardust has the spot in the ladder match. That makes absolutely no sense. I would have rather seen Goldust versus Stardust at the pre-show of WrestleMania than to just see them split up and Stardust still be a character and Goldust gets he get the short end of the stick, although he beat Cody, or though he beat Stardust. That's still confusing to me, and it just really, really seemed like they threw in Cody at the last minute.
They threw in Cody, and they totally, totally dropped the ball with this feud. And it wasn't even really a feud, it was stupid. I mean, they wasted Dusty Rhodes' time coming in, and hey,
yeah.
It was such a disappointment. I mean, they just really made a mockery of this. They could have made something at WrestleMania where these two collide, and it could have been a good farewell for Goldust, but they just totally crapped all over it. I don't even have much else to say for it. I mean, I like Cody Rhodes. I like the Stardust character, but it makes no sense. Have him in the Intercontinental title scene. And I don't even really care for that match. It should have just been the original four, and now there's like 50 people in it. And it's, you know, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, I was totally okay that there's six people because I like multi-people matches like that because we already see, like, fatal four-way matches. If you're going to have, like, a Money in the Bank or some type of multi-person match like that, there's so much competition going away from the ladder and different spots around the match, around the ring that provides awesome spots. That's why I love 6 to 8 people, like Money in the Bank matches and things like that. However, 7 people in a match, it's a bit odd. But the funny part is there's 3 faces. I mean, there's 4 faces, 3 heels. I get it. You know, I'm okay with that, too. I just think I'd rather see Stardust be replaced by somebody else. Goldust and Stardust should have feuded, and I think that, you know, somebody like Mark Henry or something like that should have been in the match as a heel, you know, as a part of the match. Or somebody, I mean, there's so many different people that's going to be thrown in the Andre the Giant, even the Miz, you know, somebody like that, you know, Miz and Mizdow. You know, they go against each other at the pre-show. The Miz beats Mizdow, you know, for a spot. I mean, the Mizdow beats the Miz for a spot in the The sixth or the Intercontinental Championship ladder match, and then the Miz says, you know, you're still my personal assistant, and becomes an, you know, gets in the match or something like that. You know, something like that could have happened, and then Miz Dow could have interfered with the Miz, you know, winning. The Miz could have been going up the ladder, and Miz Dow could have pushed the ladder down and walked out, and then on Raw said that he officially quit. You know, something like that could have happened, but we get like Stardust, and I just, you know, it just doesn't make much sense for Stardust to be in there. Next we have, and of course, you know, Los Matadores take out Xavier Woods, and El Torito takes out Cesaro post-match. It seems like they're kind of healing up Los Matadores. I mean, I suppose that it's a different type of twist to their character, but I mean, Los Matadores as tag team champions, is that ever going to happen?
I hope not. I mean, they've been around for almost 2 years now, and if not longer. I don't see it going on then. I mean, they can do what they want. The Usos, I, they got an injury now, and it's a new day. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not Los Matadores. No, whatever happened to El Torito, you don't see him anymore, which I'm not complaining. But they kind of come
and go. He
was
there last night. He was there on Raw. He did that, flying head scissors, Hurricanrana to Cesaro.
Okay, I must have been in the bathroom. I'm sorry. I missed that part. I don't see anything with the... I don't want to see the belts on them. They haven't really done much for me since they've been there. I mean, prove me wrong, but yeah, I'm not too happy.
Primo and Epico was to me had a much better chance, or there was a much better team than Los Matadores. I understand that Primo and Epico just didn't really have much going for them, you know. After a while, I mean, they were tag team champions, and they were with the person from Total Divas. I don't mind. That's how much she doesn't matter. Rosa Mendez. But they were with her for a while, and that kind of helped them a little bit. But you know, they end up becoming stale and need a character overhaul. Los Matadores come. You know, they come out, but I mean, it just seemed like they were just kind of, they were kind of pigeonholed by their gimmick anyways, because the whole Los Matadores thing, that really didn't seem like it had a long shelf life in any ways. It's kind of like El Matadores, same thing. When Tito Santana was so, I mean, he was a legend. He was, you know, feuding with Greg Valentine and Randy Savage and, you know, for the Intercontinental Championship, and I mean, then you bring in El Matador. Oh, it was just absolutely ridiculous. The only thing I liked about El Matador is I remember before when he was Tito Santana, like in the early '90s, like probably like 90, 91, like late 91 or so. I remember that Tito Santana didn't win many matches around that time, and then when they brought in El Matador, he started winning matches a little bit, and that didn't last long either. But just rechristening Tito Santana to El Matador was probably one of the worst things that ever happened, because I was a big Tito Santana fan. But and interestingly enough, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks, Flavor of the Week. Biggest gimmicks that flopped, that were supposed to be something, but they flopped. And today's Flavor of the Week is going to be whether the WWE would be better with or without Brock Lesnar. So that'll be fun talking about. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar interview. I like what they're doing with Brock and Roman. I like it a lot, actually. That I think that I was thinking about buying, because I was thinking about which shirt that I want for WrestleMania. And, you know, as much as I'm a Roman Reigns guy, you know, Sting, of course, I mean, Sting just blows him out the park. So, you know, I'll be wearing a Sting shirt WrestleMania. But I think next month or maybe something like Money in the Bank or something like that, I'll be actually attending Money in the Bank. I think that I'll wear my Roman Reigns shirt at Money in the Bank because I like his shirt. I like the I can, I will, believe that. I mean, that's, you know, that's an inspirational, there's three inspirational lines right there, so I'm totally cool with it. But, I mean, the interview that Brock Lesnar had, it was, you know, it was no nonsense, it was gritty, it was brutal, it was intimidating, and I really like this type of you can't be beat. And I think, and I still don't think the streak should have been a part of this, but I think just with the beat down that he gave to John Cena and just how he beat up and beat CM Punk, and then the feud that he had with Triple H. You know, I think that those were good parts. And then the fact that he just beat down Big Show at the Royal Rumble last year. I think, and of course, you know, the times when he F5 Mark Henry, I think those are good video clips. I think it helped him, you know, become such this dominant, unstoppable guy. But I think, of course, I don't think the streak should have been a part of that. Even almost a year later, I mean, the streak beating the Undertaker last year wouldn't have made. It makes absolutely no difference, you know, to Brock Lesnar a year later, which I still think it was just kind of a knee-jerk decision, which was horrible, even a year later, just about. But even if he would have beat up The Undertaker, you know, and because, you know, it's so funny, the whole Bray Wyatt thing, it carves in so well with The Undertaker. If The Undertaker would have beat Brock Lesnar barely at WrestleMania, and then Brock Lesnar would have taken him out with like three F5s, and, you know, brought in and Paul Heyman would have been like, I ended the career of The Undertaker, this and that, and then we would have been wondering if, you know, The Undertaker is going to come back, because, you know, there's still that part of us that's like, why aren't we seeing an Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar rematch? But if Taker would have beat Lesnar, we wouldn't have been thinking that. And if Lesnar would have beat up The Undertaker after the match, that would have been kind of like a moral victor type of thing. I mean, and I ended The Undertaker's career, blah, blah, blah. And then Bray Wyatt is kind of picking up the scraps, follow the buzzards, pick up the scraps, blah, blah, blah. And that would have been a better segue to lead into The Undertaker coming back instead of just saying, I lost to Brock Lesnar, now I'm going to go to Bray Wyatt. So that would have been much better. But, you know, back to Brock Lesnar, I think that they're doing a good job still building him as such a dominant figure that people really don't have a it's easier to get behind Roman Reigns because Brock Lesnar is doing so much with his vignettes and with his, you know, background of the past couple of years that he's such a dominant figure. And Roman Reigns, you know, he has some size, he has some power, but he's the underdog. And like I said, you know, people still respect the underdog for sure. WeAreWrestling.net agrees, the chat room, and said that, you know, I would have preferred that scenario. And, you know, there you go. I think that would have been a much better scenario than just, you know, ending the streak. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I think as far as Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I think they're doing a pretty decent job with building up this feud. And I'm buying into it. You know, I was reluctant, you know, to see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I'm a Roman Reigns guy, but I thought it was premature. But I think this would be a good feud. I think this would be a good main event. And, you know, there looks like they're passing a baton to Roman Reigns. John Cena's being in U.S. title matches now, and it really seemed like they're really passing the baton, passing the torch.
That's how it appears, and that's fine. Yeah, I mean, they've done really well around this feud. As far as just the promos go and the interviews, they've been really kind of humble about it for the most part. And we're just going to see what's going to happen with it. I'm excited for it. I think it's great WrestleMania. This really seems to be, you know, a well-rounded WrestleMania as far as the events go and just, you know, the main events, because that's all it is now. And probably, like they have in the past, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns will probably be somewhere in the middle or something. Yeah, you know, which that should always be the last. The title match should always be the last. Maybe they'll do that this year, but the Roman Reigns thing, I'm going to get it. I'll get into it. That's fine. I'm a Roman Reigns guy. He's not bad. But as far as if I was to wear a T-shirt to any wrestling event, it's always going to be my original DX shirt that I got when I was 16. And it still fits. It still fits to this day. Shawn Michaels, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and China. It's awesome. I'm always going to wear that. So you can wear your John Cena or whatever said you're going to wear. I'll be sitting
Wait
next
a minute.
To you in my
T-shirt. How dare you? How dare you say that I would wear a John Cena shirt? Now, you know me. We've known each other for going on 6 years. And how dare you say that I would wear a John Cena shirt?
I meant to say Adam Rose. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't mind wearing an Adam Rose shirt. You know, I'm not totally opposed to Adam Rose. I was on Team Adam Rose for a little bit, but that didn't last long. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to him, but his character is just nowhere now. Next we have Big Show and Eric Rowan. Just no contest because Big Show takes out Rowan because the bell rings. Why does the Big? I mean, what momentum does the Big Show need to gain? I mean, what in the world? What was the point of that? I have no idea why the Big Show keeps beating up Eric Rowan like the Big Show is the one that needs to rub or needs to push. Eric Rowan is just being, I mean, see, there's a term in the IWC that's used very loosely a lot of times. And that term is called buried. Now, if you want to look at someone, if you want to look at a wrestler who's buried, Eric Rowan is buried because there's absolutely no point in the Big Show continue week after week coming out and beating the snot out of Eric Rowan and Rusev as well. Rusev beating up Rowan as well. Why in the world would you break away the Wyatt family? Luke Harper, he's been Intercontinental Champion, and he's going to be in the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania. He's got a pretty good WrestleMania spot. Eric Rowan has went nowhere after the Wyatt family. The best thing that he had was being a part of the Survivor Series main event and being, you know, a part of the Rebel, you know, with Dolph Ziggler and Ryback. That's really all he has. And even that, he still loses like crazy. And they have done the worst job building up Eric Rowan. Just imagine how many kids could have, you know, been wearing cheap Macs. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is his music. His music does no... There's nothing about Eric Rowan's music that causes me to say, oh, yeah, cool, there's Eric Rowan, he's coming out. Nothing. They've done such a horrible job building Eric Rowan. And this little craziness they did on Raw with the Big Show just proves how much they just don't have any stock into, no stock at all into Eric Rowan.
Yeah, there hasn't been. He's a lame duck. I mean, that's too bad. He could do a lot. I have faith in Eric Rowan, but they just want him to almost be forgotten about. And, yeah, again, why put over the Big Show? I mean, the Big Show is – he's on his way out. I mean, the guy's been wrestling since the early 90s. I mean, it's time for him to – why are they giving him this much respect? They crapped on him for so many years. And he's just – you can't put any stock in the Big Show. He's always – good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad. Forget it. I'm done with that. And Eric Rowan needs the attention on him. So far, it hasn't happened, so it's, that was a filler match. That was a bathroom break.
Yeah, there's your bathroom break. Next trivia question. What Diva Search contestant was a part of JBL's cabinet? What Diva Search contestant was a part of JBL's cabinet? And then we get Mark Henry winning the mini Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I mean, we've talked about that. I'm glad that they chose Mark Henry to win because, you know, he's been getting no type of love recently because we saw on SmackDown that, he came back and Roman Reigns, Superman punched him and speared him through the barricade. But, you know, that was his first time back in 4 months. And that's what he gets on his return. They don't have much stock in Mark Henry as well, but at least, you know, they're building some momentum behind him as being a threat for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But again, you know, who really cares about that match?
Yeah, you've stressed that a lot tonight, and I don't care about it, but I'll watch it. So, but yeah, for the most part, it's throwaway. Let's get to the better part.
Yeah, her first name was Amy. Yes, it was. What was her last name? That's what we have so far on the answers. Her first name was Amy. Amy who? All right, next we have Paul Heyman cuts an in-ring promo. Of course, another Paul Heyman promo that he seems like he's about to keel over. Man, he really needs to bring some type of oxygen mask with those, you know, on those promos. He needs to bring an oxygen mask with him, period. Because I'm like, dude, breathe a little, breathe. And, I mean, the promos he cuts are fantastic because, I mean, just like Roman Reigns said when he came out, he's one of the best talkers of all time. That's without question. But, you know, I think he needs to kind of slow his pace down a little bit. It seems like he gets real passionate and he just, you know, starts blabbering and ranting and ranting. You know, I think his time needs to be a little bit better. You know, because I'm like, dude, you're Paul Heyman, and you know, you're one of the best talkers in the whole wide world. But when he gets riled up, it's like, dude, breathe a little, slow down a little bit. But you know, I think the very fact that he was talking about Roman Reigns and his family, and Roman Reigns comes out, and Heyman's doing a pretty good job. He's doing a pretty good job helping Roman Reigns get more pops, and I think that's exactly what is needed because a lot of people just kind of discarded and dismissed Roman Reigns after the Royal Rumble. And it's the funny part is he's not getting like a chorus of boos. He's still getting pretty hefty, pretty noticeable pops. And so, yeah, I'm on board with it. I'm on board with the Roman Reigns Paul Heyman exchanges that they've been having. And of course, they're going to lead to next week, which is the Go Home Show. They're going to lead to face to face between Reigns and Lesnar. And I will say this is that Roman Reigns has improved with his mic work, and I've definitely noticed it.
Hey, what about after WrestleMania? Roman Reigns becomes a Paul Heyman guy.
No thanks. Nope.
What's Heyman
I do,
do
not want that to happen.
If Lesnar is no longer the prominent guy, what's Heyman got?
I would rather see Sheamus as a Paul Heyman guy than Roman Reigns. I don't want to be no. Because Paul Heyman, we'll talk about this another time because we're running short on time here. But we'll talk about this. I've had this conversation before with many different people. Paul Heyman does not have a very high success rate of being of really building someone from scratch. He did it with Brock Lesnar, but, you know, you got Matt Morgan, Nathan Jones, and all the other people he was manager of, you know, during, you know, the early 2000s. They didn't do good. They didn't really have a good success rate. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Paul Heyman guys and coming weeks. A pretty good favorite week topic. But now next we have the triple threat, the six man match for the Intercontinental Championship. The baby faces went on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan pinned Luke Harper. This time Ambrose pinned Bad News Barrett. But Bad News Barrett ends up leaving with the title. I think this is good. I think this is a good way to head into WrestleMania with all this happening, and then Barrett finally getting the championship going into WrestleMania. It's just been a really good feud, and you've talked about that before. And then at the end, we run out of time, but let's real quick, let's talk about Orton and Rollins. Authority surrounds Orton. Lights go off. Sting makes the save. Fantastic part. Sting spoke, after Raw. How I am about Sting speaking during this feud. I was a fan. I was hoping that he didn't speak at all. But, it wasn't a long promo. He was really excited. You can tell he was just legitimately pumped. He's been waiting 14 years, he said, and smoking good is what he says. And you could tell it was exciting. He didn't say much, which I think was very, very good. So I can give it the pass because you can tell that he was incredibly psyched.
He was psyched, and you could feel it. And I'm glad he did it. It wasn't too overdrawn. That's almost what killed Warrior in WCW. Is this her opening speech was like 15 minutes long. It was stupid. But Sting kept it short, sweet, and I'm so hyped for this match. And Sting has done nothing but been amazing with his WWE run. I don't know how they could have made it any better than what they have so far.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. And I'm a Sting guy. You were the Sting antagonist for a long time, but it looks like you've seen the light, or you've been bit by the scorpion, one of the two.
I've always known who he was, so I respect him in that respect. But anyway, it was great. I'm excited for it because I know who Sting is. I'm not a Sting guy,
Seems like you've been a Sting guy the past few months. I think you've came over. Just don't deny it, Derek. You're a Sting guy.
I'll accept it.
All right. Nice. It's official. We'll be back with Flavor of the Week right quick.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right, Derek. Would the WWE be better with or without Brock Lesnar?
I want to say without, just based on the fact that it's great that when he's there, I mean, the past few months he's been champion. It's almost like it's a novelty for the WWE, and they can make a lot of money off of him, just his name. But as far as just overall continuity, he's probably better off not there because you want to see the champion more often. You want to see, what's going on. So I would say it's better without him, but when he is there, it's awesome. But again, treat it like a novelty. Treat it almost like, I don't want to say like an Undertaker type thing, but almost treat it like, it's a special thing. Brock Lesnar, oh my gosh, he's going to be on Raw. Everyone needs to tune in. So I like the championship being defended a little more often than what they've done with him. But again, this is a special case. But the time he's with WWE is awesome, but in the long run, it's better off without him.
I agree. Only because of this, because the time that Brock Lesnar was in when he was a little bit, when he was more of a novelty, when he wasn't champion, I liked him there. When he was, since he won the champion, I was okay with trying to see how it was, to see with the title being away. I was willing to try it out, but it's not been good. I mean, it just really has not been a good decision to do that. But he's had some good feuds there. He's been there for 3 years and he's had his time. The only thing that I would be willing to try would be a face run after Mania. and you know, have him having feuds with Bray Wyatt and Sheamus. Those are two people that would like for a face Brock Lesnar to have a feud with, and I'd be okay with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We are closing up. And, of course, we have the Patriot Dell Wilkes coming on April 7th. We got more announcements coming in the coming weeks. Road to WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen. Go home show, the preview show for next week for WrestleMania, the post show for NXT. Until next week, enjoy Eureka Wrestling. God bless, and Daddy loves Ian and Elijah. Bye-bye.